Welcome everyone to the Orisha Lifestyle Academy. Today is May 11th, right? Yep, it's May 11th, 2022. And we are here for our personal management for spiritual progress. This is our sixth conversation. Time is flying by. This is the halfway mark. And I'm happy with the conversation. It makes me feel good about what kind of ground we're covering, and I'm thankful that we're able to have the conversation the way we are having it. This week is going to be like the last normal week of the whole thing because I'm going to travel.
Is he frozen?
Kind of funny. He said he was going to travel and then he left. Oh boy. Brother Ekundayo, you got a little engineer over there, it looks like. Oh no, that's you. Oh, I see. All right. The camera is far away.
Sorry about that, everybody. My internet is really, really. Maybe it's like, maybe my internet is already in Nigeria. And this is a prelude to what I can expect over the next 6 weeks. I hope not, because I'm here. And
that was on cue. You said you were going to travel and you left.
And I just took off like, wow. And even now, so now I'm using my phone and I don't know what's going on. My modem shows that I've got full connectivity, but it's like that here for some reason where I am here in Georgia. It's just a little bit crunchy. So anyway, sorry about that. I'm going to travel and I anticipate that I should be able to maintain connectivity. I'm going to have a mobile hotspot and I'll experiment with that every single day to try to maintain connection as is necessary. But while we're here, we're going to focus on the subject matter of the day, which is we're looking at training, investing in training and technology. And so before we do that, let's give thanks and gratitude to the ones who are deserving. We give thanks and praise to Olodumare, the great king who spreads his mat infinitely in all directions. Ashe, we give thanks to our mother, the earth, Ile, who adorns her hair with a home. We give thanks and praise to the rising sun. We pay homage to the setting sun. We pay homage to the 200 divinities who sit to the right of Olodumare, as well as the 200 divinities who sit to the left of Olodumare. We pay homage to the 401 divinities who shuttle back and forth between the heavenly and earthly realms. We pay homage to the great masters from the four corners of the world. We pay homage to the spirits of our ancestors, the spirits of our mothers and our fathers. We pay homage to the spirits of the eldest member of our communities, as well as the youngest members of our communities. And we give thanks and praise for all the forces of life that make this moment possible and make it meaningful. And we pledge to use our blessing and the wisdom and the guidance and the resources that are bestowed upon us from the deities, from the ancestors, from the earth, and from Olodumare to help bring about the good condition for ourselves and those who we are destined to serve. Hashem. This is week six. So by now you have some idea of how we get things done, right? You know that we're communicating via email. So you're going to get emails about any updates from me. And as I'm traveling, if there's any kind of an update, then I'll send you an email. In the off chance that I don't really have the kind of connectivity I need, then I will get on and I will do the lecture and then just upload it, you know, and who knows what that might mean. It could mean like 12-hour uploads. So let's hope and pray that the live stream is workable. To me, that's the most sensible thing. But we'll do it. You know, I'm committed to making it happen. And because I want to, also it's an experiment. I want to know what it's like, right, to really work this side of the equation from Africa. I'm excited about trying to overcome that challenge or meet it where it is. And there's the dashboard, as I'm sure you have seen. If you want to go back to the previous conversations, everything is posted on the dashboard along with the notes and the other resources. So big up to all the people who are note takers for us and share those notes, as well as those who have bright ideas and best practices associated with what we talk about, right? So the bright ideas and best practices, if you don't know, it's just basically when we're having our conversation, you may have really more profound or unique insights into some aspect of what we're discussing, and you can share it with us so we can add it to the resources and for people who want to go further with something than we're prepared to go into in this particular conversation. And so, Delia, for example, has shared with us books. Actually, every time we talk and we mention books, she gives, you know, shares us these PDFs of the books. So there's a lot of free content, you know, and high quality reading material available to you. And so I want to encourage folks to keep that going. And the reason why we're doing all of this in the bigger scheme of things is I want to prepare you for success. I want you to be in a position to take on all of the increased responsibilities and demands that go along with being a devotee, so that we can be leading ourselves at the very least, but then we can also take on greater responsibility for leading our families, our communities, organizations, etc. Right? Not everyone is going to be a priest or a priestess, but as a result of your devotion and your work, perhaps you get, you know, your business increases, you start getting more contracts, you get promotions, you go from, you know, being a solo worker to managing other people, right? You get You get from one car to two cars. You go from renting a place to owning a place, right? Just whatever falls into the category of progress for you, it just is gonna place different kinds of demands on you. And it's crucial that you start putting systems in place to be able to meet those demands, because it doesn't get easier as you become more successful. It doesn't get easier as your prayers get answered. It does not. It gets more difficult. It gets more complex. The demands become more intense. Everything, the stakes are higher, right? The cost of mistakes gets more, becomes more costly. And so this is the part that I find is super important for people who are really rising stars, for people who really want to be able to maintain a certain level of happiness and contentment with their success, right? Some people become disgruntled with success because they don't anticipate the increased difficulty associated with it. So a big part of why we're having this conversation is prevention. I want to prevent you having feelings of being overwhelmed by your success. So let's see how we've gotten here. We're in the sixth conversation. And we talked about, first we talked about your calling, right? Responding to your call. That really is the baseline for everything that I do. Know your calling, know your natural gifts and talents. Really, really accept those things, embrace those things. And that's a process. It's ongoing. I don't want to make it seem like any of these conversations is a one-shot deal. Hey, I'm an artist and that's it. No, you're going to continue to, sift through the details and specifics of your natural gifts and talents, and you're going to get different perspectives on what you do and what it means. But the key is to continue to face that realization. You have natural gifts and talents. You came into the world with something. There's some area in life where you're a natural. No one has to teach you. No one has to convince you. No one has to cajole you. This is what's in you, and it's always coming out. Own that. Master it. Point it toward the people who you are destined to serve. And then the second conversation was, assuming that you have some understanding of what your natural gifts and talents are, next is about submitting yourself to an ideal apprenticeship. You need to find somebody who you want to give those talents to. You got to find someone who you want to, be in an ongoing direct exchange with, right? For one reason or another, you realize, by relating to this person, even if, if we look at the apprenticeship model, even I believe in this person's work. I believe in this person so strongly that even if I don't skyrocket through the roof and become famous for this, I would be overjoyed and delighted to help this person continue to build their legacy and increase their influence, right? So right now I'm looking at the cover of this book, Pataki, right? So this is the lid of my ajerefa. This is the lid of my ifa bowl. This ifa bowl was carved by a carver in Oshobo, whose name is, his studio is called Genesis. I've forgotten his name, just like that. Bing. Anyway, Fabayo, that's his name, Fabayo, nice guy. Fabayo carved this for me many years ago, right? And Fabayo is the student, he's like the last student of Fakeye. Fakeye is the last of the old guard of OG Yoruba carvers. So when you see Yoruba carvings and there's a certain style of the eyes or a certain way in the mouth, and they do the little geometric shapes on the base and all around it, and these little details that they put in, these are all characterized by the contribution of Fakeye. Fakeye, he's one of the great, his work survived, and they knew his name, right? before, the work was anonymous. Nobody knew their name. Nobody would carve their name into the bottom of something. You just knew. In this town, this person is the carver who does this style. This town, in this town, this is the one. So anyway, Fakeye was one of the last of the old guard. And then he had a few students. And then Fabayo was one of the last. So Fabayo continues the work and the legacy of Fakeye. Now, Fakeye also has a grandson who is really like carrying it to the next level as well. But what I mean is that even if Fabayo never distinguished himself as a solo carver, he would be doing well to continue just carving in Fakeye's studio, because Fakeye is not. That's how you want to envision your apprenticeship. You want to align yourself with somebody who you want to see them, you want to see their work continue and be perpetuated, right? And while you're there, you do the things that are necessary to support the work of this particular master craftsman or whatever the case may be. The third conversation was all about being really clear about what you truly need to excel. Not what you need to get by, not what you need to do the status quo, not what you need to be comfortable, right? Not what you need to feel good about yourself. What do you really need to go far, to excel, to be better every single day? This is really, really, it's not difficult. It just takes a lot of self-acceptance. You know, it takes a lot of self-acceptance. And we live in a time where the world is very indulgent. The world indulges a lot of weakness and a lot of laziness and a lot of mediocrity. The world is so happy with making you mediocre, allowing you to be mediocre and stroking you. Well, I detest that whole vibe. I don't like it. I think you should lean into it. Whatever it takes, you find the environment that's going to bring out the best in you. And that means you got to be honest with yourself. Hey, you know what? If bringing out the best in you means that you have to be in stiff competition, if it means that you have to be in opposition of something, if it means you have to, I don't know, whatever. There's all kinds of things. There's lots of variables. We already covered that. But the key is you've got to accept within yourself, hey, this is what it's going to require for me to do my very best. I need to feel this way. I need to be feeling compelled from within myself this way. And this is the environment that really brings out those attributes within myself to be better and better and better and better. And so that's super important for being able to position yourself within the tradition and in your practice in such a way that you're going to continue to seek out and recognize and accept when you have a reading, when you are required to do certain observances, when there are certain sacrifices that are required for you to make, when you're real clear about what's behind your passion and your enthusiasm and your sense of confidence and you know that reassurance that you have of who you are that makes you want to be the best version of yourself, you're gonna go for it. That's everything. The next piece. The fourth conversation was about then building certain relationships, building relationships on reality, right? Once you know the reality of what makes you want to do your best, then you need the reality of how other people actually are. You ideally would like to know what they need to be their best also. But at the very least, you got to be realistic and accepting of how people really are. What's really making these people tick? Who are you really talking to? And based on who you're talking to, how are you going to place this person in your life, in your organization, et cetera, in order for you guys to be having a realistic relationship and you're not constantly butting heads, or you're not constantly disappointed, or you're not constantly frustrated. You know, be realistic about who you're working with and accept them for who they are. It's going to reduce a lot of anxiety and tension. And then our last conversation was all about optimizing your energy and creating a space for patterns, you know, creating certain habits in your life that will allow you to be progressing, even when you're not quite clear of what you're doing. Because if you're like me, you'll forget, right? Like I laugh at myself. This year in particular, I laugh because there are things that I'm doing kind of on autopilot that I forgot. I forgot why I started this habit. I forgot. But then I go back and I got notes from a long time ago, 10, 15 years ago, that detail, this is why we're starting this. See, because once you start and then you get like 10, 20, 50, 100, 300, 500 things rolling around in your head, you lose track of why we started. What were we doing? What was I? Why did I start this process again? It's kind of like when you started college. I started college and I said I was going to major in this, but why? Why did I do this? What brought me here again? I forgot. But the difference between being able to sustain your progress or starting over all the time is putting yourself on a routine, a daily routine, a weekly routine, a monthly routine, a quarterly routine, biannual routine, annual routine, and you just don't quit. No matter what happens, if you're sick, if you're hungry, if you're single, if you're married, you got one child, nine children, whatever you got, you stick with the schedule. You show up and you do it. Don't deviate. Last year, I got COVID and I didn't miss class because that's my routine. That's what I'm going to do. True story. I had COVID, was teaching with the, I couldn't think, see straight. I was hallucinating, but it's my habit, right? That's how you do it because that's what it requires. You got to be able to do it. The difference between a professional and a non-professional, right? A lay person is that the professional can bring it on demand. You ask Beyonce to sing. And Beyonce could be whatever. I'm not a Beyonce fan like that. I've never seen Beyonce do nothing, but I can tell you that she's a professional. I know that. And I'm sure there's some days that she went on that stage and she was not feeling her best. I'm sure there was some days that she went on that stage and her head wasn't, you know, quite there going into it. She had some other things on her mind. But the second she put her feet on that platform, everything else is gone. And the only thing that matters is everything that she's been rehearsing with that band and connecting with that audience. That's it. Because that's a habit that she's established. All professionals have that capacity. I can paint on demand. I can sing on demand. I can write on demand. I can do law on demand. I can do surgery on demand. I can, whatever it is that's my craft, I can do it on demand. It's your habits that you put in those different intervals that's going to allow your ability to breathe and grow and have the necessary tension of, you know, like seasons that's going to allow you to be able to pull that off. All right. So today's conversation is going to be on how important it is to invest in your improvement, specifically investing in training, investing in technology. You cannot attain, maintain, and increase your influence and your greatness without investing in training and technology. Keyword invest. Keyword invest. That means you spend money. Okay. Sometimes you spend a little bit of money. Sometimes you spend a lot of money. Okay. It depends. But what you got to know is that it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you money. If you want to know and you want to do, prepare to dig in your pockets. And like I said, it's not always expensive, but you've got to be ready, willing, and able to invest that money in your success. All right. So I guess I'll do this. For example, let's look at books, right? Books, buy books, right? Books, buy books, invest in your books, invest in your books. These books, I don't know what they're worth now, but people come and they'll tell me, oh, Baba, you got like $50,000 in books. Some of these books are so rare. These are these books. And on this side, I got books. Books, right? And then books on top of there. And then if I take you downstairs, I got more books. And I read the books. And I highlight the books. And I underline in the books. And I write notes in the margins of the books. Those are indispensable. Right? I'm a writer. How am I going to write without investing in books? How am I going to cultivate the ideas without downloading, without accumulating the best ideas from other renowned scholars and specialists and subject matter experts? My own ideas get more traction and make more sense when I'm able to put them into the context of other thinkers, okay? So I say that to say that I'm not just telling you to invest. All the things that I'm telling you about these previous six conversations, these are things that I have done. These are things that I have watched other people do, okay? And these are things that I've talked to other people about doing, and everybody says the same thing. Okay. Everybody said in different ways, but you end up finding like these are trends for a reason. You have to invest in training and technology. Don't be cheap about your development. Don't try to get over. Don't do the, you know, there's some people that, in the Orisha world in particular, right? You'll find people who want to join Facebook groups, for example, and just want to be bumping around in Facebook groups and trying to learn the tradition and the practice from reading free stuff online. It's not going to happen. You've got to drop that money. And it goes for anything. Marketing, investing, anything. Whatever you want to learn, be willing to invest. Now, the money part of it is essential because, like it or not, easy come, easy go. If it's free and you didn't, you know what I mean? You could just go do a Google search for it. You take it for granted. But when you spent $100 for it, it means that you want to get $100 worth, okay? If you spent $10,000 for it, then you're going to do everything you can to get $10,000 worth out of it. And so depending on what you want to do and depending on how deeply involved you want to be in it, then that's going to determine your willingness to invest and get the best, very best training and in information on whatever the subject is. The other thing after you do things like buying books is taking classes. We're here in this class. So You know, clap for yourself. You've invested in this class. Keep investing in classes. While we were here, just as we were logging, starting this class, I got an email about explicitly about dream incubation. So I went, click. By the time I get back, the book will be here. I enrolled in a class about a month and a half ago, and then I'm going to enroll in another class today, and I'm going to try to be finishing that class while I'm in Africa. This is a class. So there's a class I'm enrolled in now on Jung and the Tarot, and then there's another this other class is on symbolism. Okay, I'm going to enroll in this class. Right, you have to. Okay, you have to. These are the things that are going to keep you engaged in your subject matter. These are the things that are going to keep you active in the cutting edge of what people are talking about right now in terms of whatever it is that you do, your area of expertise. When you take different classes, you stay on the cutting edge, and then you're a part of the conversation as well. You listen to what the circle of people within that particular area of interest are talking about, what people in that community are talking about, how they're grappling with the subject matter relative to our contemporary experience. So get training, you know, take those classes. And then another area of action around of investment in your in yourself is actually getting certification. Right, so the classes that I mentioned before is kind of for fun. It's for my personal interest. I just want to know what they're talking about. And you know, a lot of times when I take the classes, I'm always amazed to say, oh, there's a name for that. Like, this is a lot of times the most gratifying part of anyway is this is something I already do, but I just didn't know there's a name for it. This is something that I was aware of, but I didn't realize that there was a name for it. So I like classes for that. It provides context and validation for some of the things that I do. But then there's certification. Okay. Now that's something obviously, or admittedly, I haven't really done so much. I've gotten degrees, but I haven't really gone for very many certificates. But I know that certification is a really powerful way to also codify your knowledge, increase your skill set, and create economic opportunity for yourself, because you get certificates and it means that, you know, people can recognize you in your field as someone who knows these specific things, and it can fetch you a few more dollars and more credibility. But get certified. If there's a possibility for you to get a certification, get that certification. That legitimizes you, you know. Now, sometimes we would resist these ideas of books, of training, of certification, because we believe that we already know, or we believe that the things that we know are sufficient. Sometimes we feel like whatever the person or the group is trying to convey to us, that they're not going to increase our knowledge or something like that. We feel like we're natural. And I really want to dispel that for you. Sometimes people even go as far as saying that, like, all these education and training things are just a scam, you know. Or you might hear people say, there are people who do, and then there are people who teach about doing, you know. So in other words, the teachers don't know how to do things. It's the doers, and the teachers are teaching about the doers. And it's a notion. It's a notion that I think is kind of can be embedded in our thinking overall. Maybe everybody has a little bit of that kind of thinking. And I want you to check that line of thought and that mental habit. You always have something to learn. Now, everybody may not be, you know, able to teach what you need to know or what you want to know. So you got to choose the right
class. You got to choose the right certificate. You got to buy the right book. But don't delude yourself into thinking that all books are irrelevant or all training is unnecessary and all certificates are just, you know, little pieces of paper you stick on the wall. Don't fall into that category. The challenge for you is finding the right book and the right training and the right certificate that's going to be worth you willing to invest in that particular resource. Okay, this is what's going to differentiate you from the general public. Okay, this is what's going to equip you with the kind of language and vocabulary, the kind of logic and understanding. It's going to give you the historical, social, political context and backdrop for everything that you do that make you more than just a technician, right? You want to be more than just a technician. It's good to have to be technically proficient. It's good to be skilled. It's good to know what you're doing. But you don't want to be locked into just doing. You want to understand what you're doing. You want to have deeper insights into what you're doing. You want to have a philosophy of what you're doing. You want to be able to say with certainty how what you're doing addresses your own personal destiny as well as addresses the needs of your time. That is what comes through books, training, certification. Okay? All education has one thing in common. It stops time. Education creates a space where you stop everything going on around you and you just isolate and focus on a certain subject matter. And you look at that subject matter from multiple angles. You analyze it, you dissect it, you pull it apart, you put it back together. You put it back together in different ways. You discuss it in why certain things are impossible. And you know what I mean? You toy with it. You play with it, you know, because you can't afford to do that when you're actually doing. You can't be exploring all this while you're flying the plane, while you're driving the car, while you're cooking the meal. You can't do all that. You've got to have a space to experiment and examine and contemplate, right, the nuances and details of what it is you're exploring, okay? So investing in training is what is going to give you the perspective that you need to create and clarify the vision. Okay? That's kind of the red hot, you know, that's the red hot pillar that holds everything together. Your education and your training, above and beyond making you more proficient, it helps inform your vision of what you're doing. Okay. And your vision of what you're doing is what is going to then allow you to see and imagine and map and lay out the whole trajectory of your progress. Right. So when we think about the basic premise of this whole personal management for spiritual progress, the spiritual progress part is feeding into a vision. It's you're creating your life for yourself. You're envisioning and then organizing something that you hope to see and experience in the years to come. Your ability to do that is going to be largely determined by the extent and the quality of your education, of your training, of your technology, right? So now, when we start looking at technology, the same thing is true. When I was little, we were poor, you know, I mean, relatively speaking. But to the point that I didn't have any tools, you know, I used a butter knife and a pipe wrench to do anything. Anything got broken in the house, I was trying to fix it with a butter knife and a pipe wrench. No pliers, no screwdrivers, no Allen wrenches, none of that. A pipe wrench. I mean, a big pipe wrench. And I'll never forget the day I went to somebody's house, man, and this guy had tools. He had like 10 wrenches. He had 10 wrenches. There was a wrench for the seat. We were fixing our bikes. There was a wrench for the seat. There was a wrench for the to take the wheel off. There was something. It was a heavenly, but it was so much easier. Oh my goodness, it was so much easier than a pipe wrench and the screwdriver. And I realized that day, oh, tools are important. So you've got to invest in tools. Whatever the tools of the trade are, you need to know what they are and you need to invest. You need to get those tools. If it's wrenches or if it's cameras or if it's cables or if it's shovels or if it's paintbrushes or if it's microphones, whatever it is, crochet needles, threads, you need to get the material resources in your hand to be able to execute whatever it is that you do. Don't skimp on the technology. And of course, that requires a commitment because the, you know, wrenches are expensive. Instruments are expensive. Cameras are expensive. And so you can't, and then once you got them, you got to maintain them, you know? So it's going to also ground you and make you a lot more serious about what it takes to make this thing happen. Your equipment and your technology could even includes the physical space. You have to rent a space. You know, you've got to rent a space. You've got to buy a space, perhaps. There are all of the physical things, everything that you can think of that goes into the physical trappings of doing what you do. Be willing to invest in that material. When it comes to your, even your dress code, you know, they say dress the part, because they say clothes don't make the man, but then we also say dress the part. I'm more inclined to say dress the part. Dress the part. Do what you need to do. Know what was necessary, but also look like you are what you say you are. Right? And it doesn't have to be extravagant, but you need to invest as part of your task. I knew a guy from high school, for example, who worked in the entertainment industry. And this guy started working his way up in the entertainment industry. And he went from being, you know, some sort of a technician, maybe a lighting technician or something like that, and worked with to being the head of a crew. And so instead of just doing all the work, he had a group of guys and he was creating work for them, which meant he had the duty of then going to sign contracts, right? He had to make agreements with people. And he says, you know, in the process, people knew my work, but they weren't used to me being a shot caller. And so I had to physically do things to make them believe and accept that I was no longer a technician. So he would go in on the strength of his work and he would talk to people and have a conversation with them, right, about the work and about what was going to happen. And then once he had sealed the deal, it was a done deal. They were ready to sign. He brings out the contract and then he pretends to forget something. Oh, I forgot my pen. Oh, this is only page one. There's page two. Let me come on out with me and we'll just wrap this up and, you know, we'll get page two. And so what this is a ruse. What happens when they go out? They go out and he gets the fob and on the Porsche 911. He opens the door and he gets it out and he puts the folder on the hood of his red Porsche 911 and has this person sign the contract on the hood of his Porsche. Now, that's how I not only got the contract, but I had already psychologically, you know, gotten the contract renewed. All I have to do now is not mess it up, but I'm in now. They're clear. No, I'm on another level. So look the part. Show that you are what you say you are. Leave no doubt in anyone's mind, including your own, that you are what you are. Because why? Because not only do you have the interest and the experience, not only do you know what you're calling, not only have you apprenticed with somebody, not only have you really gotten clear about what it is that makes you tick and makes you go forward and brings out the best in you, not only do you know how to receive people and accept people for who they are and assign them roles according to their true, you know, disposition, if you will. Not only do you have a habit in place that keeps you moving in the right direction and doing this, the right things at the right time and at the right intervals, but you also educated yourself. You know what you're talking about. You can talk about your content. You can talk about your work. You've got training. Your skill isn't just natural, but you're on the cutting edge. You know what the new techniques are. You know what the new conversations are. You know what the limitations of the new technology are. You've got the certifications that say that you are legit and skilled in this, that, and the other. And then you also have the materials. You've got the wrenches. You've got the paintbrushes. You've got the studio. You've got the microphones. You've got the cameras, right? There's no doubt that you are really about what you say that you are about, right? And all of this, again, still is accumulating all the necessary resources and experiences that you need to be able to continue to manage. So you're facing all of the dilemmas proactively by committing to increasing your knowledge and your training and the technology and the equipment that are part of your work. You're being proactive about what's coming next. You're not being dragged by your success and wondering how come I can't figure it out because you don't have the technology. Oh, because you don't have the equipment, because you don't have the training, because you don't have the certificate. And have you ever had that experience where it looks like you should be moving forward? It looks like you should be progressing. It looks like you should be well received. It looks like you should be elevated and promoted. But for one reason or another, it just is missing something. Well, it's because everybody's kind of wondering why you don't have that certificate. Everybody's wondering, why don't you have your own studio? People are, you know what I mean? It's just that little doubt. They haven't necessarily thought about it, but they're wondering, why is this guy is borrowing somebody else's mic? Why do you have a, you know what I mean? It's just like, you sow seeds of doubt within yourself and within other people. Because if you're not willing to invest in your own work, why am I going to invest in it? Why do I believe that I should be paying you for this? Why do I believe I should be having total confidence in you when you clearly are unclear of, you know, within yourself if you got the thing or not, if you're really doing it or if it's a hobby? Is it a hobby? Or is it really the thing that you're living for? Are you truly committed to that? This is where the investment piece comes in. So why I say invest, right? Are you, you know, playing with it? Are you really invested, right? Are you really going to put everything on the table, on the line, in order to have and be this thing, okay? So that is the real basis of what I mean by get your training, get your equipment, get your technology, et cetera. Just as recent as last year, for example, I have a friend who He's a professor, and he does a lot of work online. And we sort of started our online activity around the same time. And so I would follow him, he would follow me. But then one day I looked up and I was watching him and I thought, man, this guy looks like he's in a movie scene. Like, it was so clear. It was so clear. I'm like, and it took me a while. I was watching him for this one episode of his conversation. It was like he has a podcast. I was watching his podcast for about 20 minutes. And I was captivated by something, and I couldn't figure out, why is this such a different experience for me? What's going on? And it was because the visual quality of the show was so much better all of a sudden. So I called him, or I sent him a message. Hey, Hassan, what's happening? This is me. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Just want to say, man, all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but just you look great. Like, your show just, like, what did you do? He says, oh, I invested in this camera and this cable. I said, what? He said, yeah, I got this camera, and this cable. So if you go back 3 years ago, you're gonna see the visual quality of my content got a lot better because I literally bought his camera and cable, right? He told me, I went and got the exact camera and cable, right? Because it creates just a much better experience. I got the Yeti mic, right? These are things that I would think, that's superfluous. Why do I need a Yeti mic? Why, you know? But I got it, and the sound quality is better. I have an iPhone and I have an Android because I want to know technologically which one can do what. What are the advantages of both? So my work phone is an Android and my personal phone is an iPhone. Right? I'm just letting you know that in all sincerity, this is what I'm doing. And this is, like I said, this is what I know everybody who's doing the work is doing these things. And I am a babalawo. But in order to do it the way I'm doing it, I need this equipment. It's not extra. It's not superfluous. It's not even optional. In order for me to do what I'm doing the way that I want to do it and to not be confusing people, not be sending mixed messages, I need the technology and I need the education and I need the certification and I need the training. It's essential. So even going to Nigeria, I'm going to go to Nigeria. What am I going to do in Nigeria? I'm going to train. I'm going to invest a considerable amount of money in learning to talk to this person, to talk to that person, to get this kind of information. How do I do this? How do I do that? It's going to cost me time. It's going to cost me money. But I have to make that investment in order to be ready, in order to prepare myself for what I want to do next. I have to prepare myself for what is going to happen next. It's inevitable that there is a next. You know, by the grace of Olodumare, this life will go on for me. But I'm anticipating that I should be prepared for an upgrade. I should be prepared for increased responsibility. I should be prepared for more things for me to juggle. I need more training. I need more power. I need more equipment. I need more tools. So I'm going to come back with more of what I need to be able to sustain more weight and not be overwhelmed by the opportunities and the challenges that are, by all intents and purposes, just a natural consequence of, you know, what I'm doing and the way I'm doing it. Okay. So I want you to understand that it is inevitable that you get training and education and certification. Last thing I want to say before we open the conversation is, then underneath all of this is the basic, right? I have, you know, my education is a thorough education. I have a complete education, meaning have a bachelor's degree from a reputable university. Then I have a master's degree from a reputable university. I've been initiated by reputable priests, and then I've continued my apprenticeship and training with reputable priests. All of those things cost me money, right? They cost me money at every step of the way, except high school. That was free. I went to public school. But everything after that, it has cost me. Okay. And I, like I said, I grew up poor. So nobody paid for that stuff. It comes out of my pocket. But it's $150,000. It's worth every single penny. 100% worth. Right? So you got to keep building. No matter how much education and training and equipment and all that you've got, you just got to keep, you've got to know that that's essential to your ability to continue to grow and flourish. Keep learning, keep learning, keep growing, keep expanding, keep creating opportunities for you to discover new things. Keep looking at old things from new perspectives. This is essential to your ability to predict and create the kinds of environments that will allow you to thrive and flourish. And like I said, carry the weight that comes with growth. Okay, so let me pause there. Pause right there. I think we're at almost an hour. And let's just open it up for some questions. What is your experience and what's your experience with training, education, and technology? And let me just leave it at that. What's your experience with, twofold. What is your experience with training and education and technology, and how does it relate to what I'm telling you about training, et cetera, et cetera? Is what I'm saying making sense based on your experience with being trained, having equipment, and et cetera? That's what I'm wanting to know. Does this pan out? Am I lying or am I flying? That's the question. All right. Awolowo, good afternoon. I'm so used to doing this at night. Good afternoon, brother. How are you?
I'm gonna have to talk fast because again, every facet of what you hit on, it was just on point. So for me, no, you are not lying. You are not lying. I used to have a strong aversion. It would make my skin crawl to pay more than a dollar. I'd get those little, those dollar 14-day trials. Then I switch my email up, another dollar. Yeah. Oh, I didn't gain it further. $3. Oh my goodness. But then, it's like that African proverb: if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So that's what I realized was I paid for I think I started with your class first, in the school first, and then I know later on I actually paid for mentorship as I was talking about before, and it was interesting because it was a totally, so like I was getting all types of game from the YouTube videos and, just following him online and stuff like that. But when I got a one-on-one, it was like, oh, we're going way far. Like, oh, what I thought I was getting, that's not even a fraction of the knowledge that this person has. Right. And then, also I was able to see, like these masterminds and stuff like that. Like you'll hear about masterminds, especially when I was real deep into real estate, and I'll be like, come to the mastermind. So I'll click on it and be like, 30,000. I'd be like, 30, what? Ain't no way. But what you realize is you're not paying for the information. You're paying for that network of people that you're gonna get around. So, and then that comes from a story that, my mentor was telling me about. He was saying that he had got invited to a club from a friend of his, you know, and so he goes to the club and he's like, it's kind of, I'm already like thrown off because there was no cover charge at the door, but I'm like, whatever. He's like, go in there. And he's like, I'm in there like 15 minutes. And the next thing you know, this guy pushes that guy and they're fighting and there's all. The club don't stop. You know, it's like they just parted the way. They removed those people and everybody's kept partying. He was like, I'll never go back to that club again. And he was like, what I realized is that when I pay that $50 for the cover charge to get into the club, right, I'm going to be with other people who are like, I'm going to pay $50. You know, and then on the flip side of that, he was talking about like taking those online courses, you know, where you pay a small amount of money, you know, and he's like, you know, if you're paying, you know, maybe $20 or $10 for a course, like a 1-day course or something like that. And he's like, and, you know, and you look up and there's 200 other people in that course, you're not getting exclusive knowledge. You're getting something that 200 other people have. So when you take that to the market, it's like, you know, everybody's gonna be like, oh, I saw that before. Like, you know, like that other guy, you know what I mean? But when you pay, you know, so his stuff starts at like $5,000, you know?
Right.
So when you pay that $5,000, you're with other people who have $5,000 to pay for it. And then you're also gonna get that information that's exclusive, because everybody that was like, oh no, I'm gonna go for the $20 course, they not there.
Right. You are hitting it right on the money. There's a level of sort of exclusivity that comes with commitment. Mm-hmm. When you put that $50 to get in the club, it filters out a certain amount of people. Mm-hmm. I used to do, when I first started working publicly, like I would have people, I would let people, they would just call me up and say, yeah, I want to make an appointment. I'm like, okay, tomorrow, 4:00. Okay. Oh man. Half those people never showed up. The half that showed up, half of them don't make their EBO. You know what I mean? And then they're calling me over and over and over again. They didn't take notes. Oh, Bob, but what did you say about this? What did you say about that? And it's like, wow, okay. But the moment I say, if you want to talk to me, then you set this appointment and you pay me in advance. All of a sudden, I get 100% show up rate. I get 100% completion rate, right? Because the people who are doing that, they're in a different mindset. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm committed to this for some reason or another. It's not easy come, easy go. And, oh, I forgot. Oops, no. I put that $100 on there. I'm going for this specific reason. And then, like you said, I really like that breakdown of the thing that you got for $20 and there's like 200 people there. Well, they're all going to be kind of, you know, parroting the same information all over the place. There's no, they aren't really adding any value. You got to be able to move into that more rarefied space to get the exclusive exchange with, you know, the source, so that what you're coming out with is something that only 5 other people have. So, and everybody knows, you, if you want that, you got to go to one of these 5 people, and they're all going to have different kinds of requirements for you being able to engage in that. And it just keeps things, but it also shows you how certain things stay out of people's reach, because there's clusters of people who are playing at a certain level, because they are either, they either got it to burn, you know what I mean? Like that 5,000, that 300, whatever, I can do it. Or they understand this is an investment. This is an investment. So yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, we have Ava. Good afternoon. Am I lying or am I flying? Ia, what's your experience with training education?
Aboye Baba.
Go ahead, Joe.
Lafayette, everyone. absolutely you fly with it. And I want to share with you guys, you know, I was new. I'm not new to this whole movement and anymore. But when I came in my late 50s, I really had a strictly Christian background, mostly dabbing in paganism and never looking at any of the African traditional religions. And my brother introduced me to it. I've been very serious about this. And so when I came in, what I want to share with everyone, because many times when Baba prays for me every week, when he prays for the oldest people that's in the meeting, it's me, you know? And so I always get a special prayer weekly. But when I first came in, I couldn't pronounce anything. You know, I don't have a second language. English is my only language. And this one very young man, very young, he kept referring to me as the elder. He would point out, you know, that it made him feel good that I was there as the elder, and it would get under my skin so bad because it had nothing to do with my age. As you can see, I don't try to cover it up. I didn't know nothing. You know, I was really a student. And so, you know, one of the things that I want to encourage you guys to do as you're invested in yourself, as you're learning, you don't let your chronological age stop you, you know, and you just keep going. You know, this was new, and this is one of the best turns I've ever made in my life. You know, I do not regret my past. I don't know what this would have looked like had I found it earlier, but this is absolutely where I'm going to make my earthly transition from Isheshe Lagba, you know, no doubt about it. And that's what I want to share with you guys. You never, ever don't let your age stop you from learning.
Mm-hmm. I say. More prayers for our elder Ava. May you continue to age gracefully.
May your wisdom increase.
Joy follow you all the days of your life. Okay. I say. Yeah, it goes on forever. We are learning, and that's what it's all about. And you got to invest in the learning process, time, effort, money, et cetera. And it just goes on and on and on. We never, ever stop. We never stop. And that's something that I appreciate when I go with Chief Lanre. You know, he will tell me and show me the same thing. We'll go and he'll say, hey, this is this, Baba. I go and I learn with him. I go with him and, you know, this is what, and you know, in the tradition, it's the same way. Now, of course, what they would do traditionally is you would take a bottle of gin, you would take a sack of obi, you know, something like that. And that's that you would invest in that way. You pay the elder that way, but it's the same mindset. I'm investing in my learning process. So everybody is doing that. They're going from one to the other and teaching and learning and teaching and learning. That's the key. Ashe. Okay, Claudia. Thank you, Iaiva. I appreciate it. Claudia, tell us what's your experience with learning, investing in your training and technology?
So one thing, I used to read a lot, but I have not been reading as much. But another form of training that I'm really seeing is super valuable, and it's something that you talk about a lot, is simply showing up. In my field of being a singer, I have learned so much by just going and seeing what these other performers are doing, and seeing how their fans react to what, and seeing how the DJ interacts, and just... It's hard because it's a night gig, right? Most of the time, or, you know, depending on the spaces, it's like you really have to, what you said about space, you really have to make time and space and have the energy to show up as a performing artist, not just a fan, shake hands, network, do your thing. And And I had to learn that that was invaluable because it really kind of, it calibrated where I was at. And it also taught me on a broader scale, I knew I wanted to be a singer. Yeah, I love to sing. I love to dance. I want to perform. But what kind of singer? Who is my audience? What, you know, that became more and more evident that I had to clarify it for myself, because otherwise people were just trying to throw me anywhere. Oh, you should do this. Oh, you should do that. And so by kind of exposing myself to the environment and seeing, you know, again, how people are reacting to different things, and okay, what if that was me? How would I act in that instance? It really taught me a lot about how, you know, how I wanted to define myself as a singer. So one thing to find myself just, I'm a singer, but okay, what kind of singer am I? What is my mission? Why am I singing? Who am I singing to? When do I want to sing? That sort of thing. And then another thing I wanted to say that you hit dead on that just happened was about tools. I've been tripping because the smallest things matter. I didn't have headphones for a minute because I lost them. You know, headphones, one of those things that like you see them all the time. And yeah, it's like, oh, this one's broken. Oh, this one don't got the right attachment. And I just the other day forced myself. Like I really had to force myself. And it was funny because I was like, man, I need my tools. And it must have been from like another conversation. I got the gist of that. But I got my AirPods.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I don't care if I got to buy 20 more in by the next month. I know I need my headphones. I cannot be a singer. I cannot write songs. I can't come up with anything if I'm not got my headphones on. You know, it's not enough listening to it in the car. It's not because I can't write. It's not enough listening to it out loud because baby's distracting me over here. I'm hearing a million other things. I need my headphones. And so once I got those, I just bought them the other day. And it's like I've been writing. Now I'm like, oh no, I know how to get in my zone. I don't know why I haven't been doing it, but now I know how to get in my zone. It was like the smallest. I didn't need a whole Pro Tools setup. I didn't need a whole studio to go to. It was like my headphones just catapulted, you know, really the basics of just, you know, doing my craft. So that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah. It could be a small thing when it comes to the tools and the technology. The other day I bought a backpack because I've been using a backpack. I got this, my daughter's backpack. This backpack is about 15 years old. I bought her this backpack. It's pink. She used it, but it's a good backpack. So she didn't want it. So I started using it. And every time I travel, people will laugh like, Papa, what you doing with that pink backpack? Say, this is a functional backpack. And I kept using it. It's not until the part of the handle broke off that I was like, you know what? I get it. This backpack isn't my backpack. This is my daughter's backpack. I need my own backpack. So I went and got a legit computer backpack that, you know, da 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 da. But that's different from the headphones. The headphones are like actually functional. You got to have that to do what you do. But it reminded me of the backpack because that's a finishing touch that we also have to take into consideration when it comes to our tools and our equipment. You need the things that are going to reflect, like you said, I'm a singer. So these are the things that singers have. You got to have it that way. And everywhere you go, it shows, it's consistent. Okay, I'm gonna rock on here. We got a few hands up here. I can't tell on the phone, it's totally different, but I scroll down and I see we got people. Okay, yeah, F. Untola. Good afternoon. Tell us what do you think about the importance of getting trained and having the proper technology?
You're flying.
Okay.
it's very important. When I started registering for your class, I was already in a certification program. And that's why it's sort of taking me so long to do all the things I need to do here. Because I was working with that. And now it has come a time now that I am contemplating doing another certification program. So each one helps me to expand and give expand what I'm doing and knowledge, even invent some things, some different things I want to do in my program. Right. And it brings more quality in my service. And so I'm looking forward to trying to transition out of the so much physical work that I do. Mm-hmm. And so now I've been researching other, you know, avenues, and I'm really into the nutritional part. So that's where my mind is going, and I'm like, okay, it's going to cost me, but when I throw down this money, it has to be in the right space, the right place, the right people, the right whatever.
Yes.
That's
it. Yeah. And I really love that detail of the training and education is what also it acts as a bridge. So when you want to go, you want to expand. So say you work with one aspect of health and wellness, you want to, you know, pivot a little bit and take on another aspect of health and wellness. The training and the technology, it helps you streamline that process so you don't have to try to recreate the wheel. You don't have to reinvent fire. There's somebody who might be doing the same kind of thing that you do and are combining them and say, yeah, this is how you can go from this to that.
Right.
And in a reasonable way.
Yeah. Because I was doing I do polarity work, but I recently got my certification in Reiki. I'm talking with this person. I'm trying to see if he, you know, would do a mentorship with me as far as herbalism and nutrition. And so we've been talking about that. And I just wanted to make sure that he is the right, you know, person.
Right fit for you.
Yeah, right fit.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Sounds like a strategic, you know, use of the training, and you have a vision for how you want it to go. So you know what you're looking for, and you'll be able to ask those straight questions. Like, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. Are you the right guy for me? And sometimes people are real cool. When I ask people, you know, this is when I'm real clear and I can tell them what I want to do, and I can ask them, can you do this? And it helps people say, no, I can't do that. Or yes, I can do that, because you've defined it well enough for them to say, man, if I tell this person that I can do it and then we don't end up doing it, I look bad. So let me say, yeah, based on what you're describing, no, I can't do that. But I do know somebody over here who either can do it or point you in the right direction. So that your clarity is also, I think, going to help work in your favor to get the most out of that.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much. Brother Dosunmu, good afternoon. Am I lying or am I flying, sir? What's your experience with training, getting training and equipment and technology, et cetera?
Bordera boya, boshise.
Boy, I told.
I would say that you're flying. Mm-hmm. Flying. My experience with getting a proper training, like you and Brother Oluwo said, Awolowo.
Yeah.
It's just like you got to invest in yourself, invest in the proper training if you want high quality work, and you want that exclusive learning that not the masses got access to, you just got to pay for it. I agree with that. And it's, you know, asking a few students in the class about something I really couldn't even articulate it at the time exactly how I wanted to, but I was asking about some computer stuff, and I really couldn't ask, you know, they gave me some resources, but it was a little too serious. I just need an answer for this specific topic in the computer. So I ended up getting in the class the other day. They taught me so much stuff. Mm. do specialize in it. So I'm learning. He's providing the tools and stuff, and then he got more tools and stuff where I can advance. So yeah, I definitely agree. And then I wanted to touch on when you was speaking about routines.
Yeah.
I done got far sticking to a routine, financial, whatever I wanted to do. I done got far before sticking with a routine. And then when I let go of the routine, I found myself in a bad spot.
Right. Right. That is the best way to learn to love your routine is to do it and then not do it. And you realize, boy, this is like people say, it's like brushing your teeth. You say, if I don't do it, this is just not going to work. This is not right. But also the learning piece, you know, the cool thing about when you get training, you're trying to solve a problem, right? What I was hearing you describe, like, I'm trying to solve this problem. And then once I get engaged in the process, I'm actually learning things. And the learning part is what makes us alive. Above and beyond everything else that I mentioned before, you know, they say that these, and I'm going to find this, I lost it somewhere along the line, but they were talking about the different drives, human drives. The sex drive is high. It's like the highest that's tied in with the will to live, right? It's like up there, high. But the will to learn, the learning drive is equal, but it lasts longer. So when you're 70, 80, 90 years old, they say it maintains or increases your interest and desire to learn. And so I've forgotten this study, but anyway, this is just what they found in the study. The learning, the drive to learn is like the greatest human desire to learn. So let's keep learning. Let's keep learning. I show. All right, we got three more. Yeah, we got three more hands. All right. Gloria Francine Cabrera. Good afternoon. Tell us.
Good afternoon. Aboya Sechi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Greetings from New York. You hit on so many points that I want to respond to, but I also want to be conscious of time. First, I'm going through growing pains. I am in my artistic life and submitting my first grant proposal.
Oh yeah.
And I'm giving birth and I am crying all the way I'm laughing because yesterday I was having a fit. Why am I doing this? What the hell am I doing? Why am I doing this? And it's because, just like you said, I'm trying to make a new vocabulary for something that's new to me. You know, how my textile work connects to my spirituality, connects to my idea of capitalism, and how it's made us as women of color be estranged from our talents and to rediscover the talent, and then how it influences community.
It froze. Did mine freeze?
I haven't thought about. And then what I'm trying to think about. So in there, I'm saying I need better technology. Mm. I need to put money in there for technology. I need to put money in there for training people. I need to put money in there for someone to do my website, because I'm not good at it. That's not my skill set.
Yes.
And just pray that, you know, and I've been praying about this, that it works out.
I share.
So I am in the birthing process and I'm screaming and pouting, but I'm doing it. And my sister, just as we're talking, I asked her to read a proposal. She just got back. And I'm also a writer. So last year, at the beginning of the year, I begged for this meeting with a poet, Willy Perdomo. He's a poet laureate for this year. And I am usually kind of shy, but I mean, I hounded him. I sent him text message after text message. And when we connected, I asked him to be my mentor. He said, well, what does it look like? And I was like, I don't know. I've never done this. I don't know, but let's try it. And then I became really embarrassed about my writing. I was like, oh shit. Did I just commit myself to share my shit?
Yeah, people are going to see it. Someone's going to read it.
So I did. I sent him little bits and pieces, and I finally sent him an essay. And it's just like, I have to get over and push through this stuff. So I am going through growing pains, but they're intentional growing pains.
Yes.
And when I do my work, when I sell something, I do reinvest it back in my business. So you're absolutely right about that. And the last thing I would say, I live on a limited income. But my strength is that I'm a go-getter, and I have been taking advantage of all of the free webinars that New York City offers for entrepreneurs. I have been pushing myself to show up, take advantage of this, build your knowledge base. So this is right in line. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep the fire burning. Learn, 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 and get that equipment and technology in place. Barbara, good afternoon. Tell us about your experience with learning, investing in your training and technology.
Boy, boy, how's everyone today? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have this tendency to buy things that are good. And I found that when you buy tools that are expensive, you will learn to use them in a good way. I think my first sewing machine that I probably bought maybe 35 years ago, I paid almost $1,000 for it. And that was pretty high price for that time. So I had to learn how to use it. So I connected with a teacher who was a master tailor. And he gave me instructions in how to use it. When it comes to things like cooking, I will buy all of my cooking equipment. Is either it's all stainless steel. I won't buy anything that is aluminum because of the effects, you know. Then after a while, I went and got my SafeServe manager's license. That's when I realized that I could have been killing my family. Because there's so many things that you just don't do that can cause cross-contamination. And I mean, it's just a whole learning process. So I think that when you invest in the tools, then you will invest in the education to learn how to use them properly. And you'll learn other things because of that education.
I like that sequence, you know, the logic of it, where if you have it, then you're going to learn to use it. Yeah, because you've invested at that point. It can't just sit there, and if you can't make use of it, then it doesn't give you its value. Excellent. Thank you, Barbara. And last but not least, we have Brother Jegbe. Yes. Tell us, what's your experience with training and technology, investing in training and technology? Yeah, it's a little low, but I can hear you.
You can hear me?
I can hear you.
Excellent. So I'm just going to say, as a coming up as a capoeirista, you know, for years and years before I was a student, you know, people have events all the time. And in order to go to somebody else's event, it'd be like $150, you know, for a day or for a weekend, you know, like $200. But what you get with that, beyond the fact that people would bring, you know, the top people, you know, from Brazil or from all over the country to come teach these classes and these workshops, is that you're surrounded by everybody who's going to be at all the events. You know, everybody who was with me before I was a teacher, you know, at these workshops, they're now, You know, they're now the teachers and the community leaders. Not to mention, you know, at just on a cultural level, the songs that were sung and were taught there became the biggest songs for that season. The songs that moved the culture, the rhythms. You had to be there, and so there's always a price, you know. But the people who chose to kind of, you know, you come back. And, you know, the people at your academy who are like, oh, that's really expensive. Hey, those people aren't really around anymore. You know, they just don't last in the culture. But you come out miles ahead of them, you know, because you couldn't just learn making the investment you were making in your studio. You had to go and be a part of the world where everybody else who wanted to be on the cutting edge were. So just in brief, that's my reflection.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that and agree that's where, even if on the bigger scale, that's what we find at the universities. When people think about these universities that are, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, what you're doing is you're putting yourself into an exclusive pool of people who are really in that. They're equally invested in their future. There's a level of seriousness and a level of commitment when you get into that level. So it's like the money correlates to the level of commitment. You know, it correlates to them to level of commitment. And so when you find yourself really ready to commit, when you really want to give your full self to something, you expect to invest in it. You expect to put money into it. You expect that. For the equipment, for the technology, for the education, for the training, for the certification, you expect that this is what it is, because you don't want to waste your time. See, the money will come and go. The money will come in, but the time is a fixed thing. And so if you're committed to a certain craft or a certain way of life, you put that money into it because that's going to make sure, it's going to help ensure anyway that the 2 hours that you spend there won't be, like Awo Lobo said, there was fights in the club, and there won't be any fights in the club. There won't be anybody popping gum in class. There won't be anybody who's interrupting the professor while he's talking. None of that stuff's going to happen at those levels. Everybody there is there for serious business. You know, I'll never forget at Cal, I was in a class, this was in a lecture, and this is like a general lecture that had like literally like 400 students in the class. And there was a student in the class, and he was dropping a penny onto the table. Or a coin. I don't know if it was a penny, but a coin. In the middle of the lecture. And so the professor stopped once, he stopped twice, and this student wouldn't stop. So after the third time, other students figured out who it was. This guy dropped the coin on that table a third time and interrupted the professor. And four guys grabbed this student on both sides, on both legs. They grabbed all of his material, his bags and his books, everything, and they physically carried him out and threw him out of class because they were not interested in anything that was going to diminish their time for learning. Like, I did not come here for you to play. I'm here to learn. This is my class. After this, you know what I mean? I don't get this hour back. After this, I'm going to another class. I'm going to work, whatever. You don't get to interrupt my learning process. It speaks to the level of commitment and investment that these folks have put into. And that, my friends, is where you want to be. If you're not willing to invest in the experience, if you're not willing to defend your right to learn and absorb that experience, if it's not precious to you, then you may not, maybe that's not the right venue. If you don't feel compelled, it's like it's not worth it for you to put that money into it,
then you need to find the one that you feel like you're really ready, willing, and able to invest in, uphold, to defend and protect your investment. Okay. And so that is where I want to wrap it up for today, because we're exactly at an hour and a half. I want to thank you all for your time and your brilliance. Our next conversation is going to be we're going to change gears, and it's a perfect segue for the next 6 weeks. What we're going to focus on is what I will call leadership in crisis. This is predicting and anticipate all the chaos, all the tumult, all of the upheaval, all of the disappointment, all of the confusion and opposition that comes with doing what you do. How do you lead in crisis? How do you continue to grow and expand when everything seems to be coming apart or you know, opposing you? All right, that's what we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks. So we're going to hash it out in different dimensions of what you do when you lead during crisis. Until then, many blessings to you all. May good things continue to abide with you. And I intend to be back by next week. I should be fully landed and everything, so it should not be a problem. But many blessings to you all. Thank you for your time. And we will talk next week. Everybody, if you've got notes, email them to me. If there's any bright ideas or best practices that are associated with this that you're familiar with, we didn't mention any books today, but any other bright ideas and best practices that you're aware of, send them over to me. And in the next couple of days, I will be sure to upload everything to the dashboard and send you an email to let you know that it's there for your review. All right. So until then, Odabo, everybody.
Odabo.
Odabo.